it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back, everyone. We're about one-fifth of the way through the season, so what better time than to drop our first ever power rankings of all 30 teams. It's going to be a lot of fun to go through the 30 teams and get some power rankings and based on, you know, whatever we want, because guess what? Lists are arbitrary, but it's fun. Let's do it. The Braves have been struggling a little bit, so that's really unfortunate. And by a little bit, I mean for their standards the past few years, they've been struggling a lot. But that being said, now would be a fun time to go through from number 30 all the way up to number 1 in the power rankings. So let's have fun with it and let's do this thing. Hey everyone, welcome back. I'm glad to have you back on Braves Dugout Podcast. It's always fun to create a new episode and know that there's people out there that actually want to hear me talk. I'm your host, Sam Peebles, and I can't wait to get started. So today, we're going to talk about the power rankings. Now, first, let's say this. Yes, there are many people out there that hate power rankings. I am one of them that gives them flack a lot in a sense of people get super upset about power rankings, and they say things like, well, why is this team ranked so low, and why is this team ranked so high? A lot of times, I will say, it is very interaction farming. And what I mean by that is that a lot of times, people that have a lot of reach will on purpose rank a team that should be ranked a lot higher, a lot lower, or vice versa, just to get reaction out of viewers or listeners or clickers or whatever you want to call them. And they do it on purpose because a power rankings list is very much arbitrary. There are no true parameters. There is no, to be ranked this high, you must be good in this and that. Or if you're bad at this and that, you will be low. And there's no, hey, this is the power. Typically, it's not, these are the power rankings in the past 7 days. Or this is the power rankings for the entire year. Or this is who's hot right now and this is who's cold right now. There is no true parameters, and that's why it's done on purpose. Power rankings are created to create reactions from fans. That's what they're created for, is to get interactions from fans. That being said, I want to try to add some parameters to it and not interaction farm, but I want to have this conversation with people about, okay, what should a power rankings be, what should it look like, and how, let's set some parameters, and let's create a true, right now, one-fifth of the way through the season, how would you rank the teams? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do, okay, right now, if the season ended today, how would I rank the teams? And it's not going to be based on who has the best record. That's easy, you know, but we'll look at their strength of schedule, we'll look at how they've done in the past 10 games or so. We'll look at who they've played, their offense, their defense, their run differential. Okay, I really want to dig into their run differential, their schedule, and things like that. Not just based on their pure record, not just based on who won a bunch of games just last week. Okay, we really want to look at, as a whole, how the teams performed this year and rank them from 30 to 1. It's going to take some time, so bear with me. We may break this up into two episodes. Just kidding. No, we're not. We're going to keep it at one. All right, first, let's start with number 30 and work our way up to number one. And we'll talk about each one, why they're there. And we're not going to just have this arbitrary list of a number with a player. And as you know, you've seen on Braves Dugout Podcast this year, we've been doing a top five every week so far. And we'll keep doing it. And it's going to be based on real things, not just random five teams, okay? And so if you don't like the rankings, let's talk about them. Because you might be right. You might have thought of something that I didn't think of. That's the beauty of lists like this, is that there's no right and wrong answer for real. You get this really there. Someone said, commented on the power rankings, and they said, these lists are stupid anyways. What's the point? And I said, or they said, there's no point. And I said, sure there is. It's to create a conversation between two people to talk about these five teams. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, sometimes I like to give certain lists a little flack and be like, I know you ranked this team this low so that people would interact, you know. I know that that's a thing. I try not to do that. I try to make it as accurate as I possibly can. But if you think I'm wrong, that's why I create them, so that we can talk about it. There might be, like, someone pointed out how hot the Twins have been recently. And that opened up my eyes to, like, wow, the Twins are doing a lot better than I had realized in this moment when I just created a top five list, because I didn't even consider the Twins being in the top five. Would I still rank them in the top five? No. But we had that conversation. I went and looked at it. I was like, wow, look at the Twins go. You know, so there's just things like that. So let's have these conversations. If you don't like the ranking, good. Tell me why, and let's talk about it. All right, let's get started. All right, let's talk with team number 30. And I think that this is probably the worst run organization in probably my lifetime. At first, you probably thought number 30 was going to be the White Sox, right? They started off the season terribly, terribly. Right now, tied with the worst record is the Rockies and the White Sox at the time of this recording. And the reason I want to go with the Rockies being number 30, not only are they terribly ran as an organization, but they're headed in the wrong direction, whereas the White Sox are headed in the right direction. If you look at the last 10 games, the Rockies are 2-8, whereas the White Sox have gotten kind of hot lately by their standards. They have won 5 of their 8 games in their last 10 games, the White Sox. Whereas the Rockies went 2-8. Not to mention the Rockies, even though the White Sox have a slightly worse run differential, just to go show which direction the teams are going, the Rockies just got swept by the Marlins. Okay? So it wasn't like, you know, they were playing some crazy schedule recently, and that's why they started sliding and going 2-8 in the last 10. They got swept by the Marlins. Okay, so to me, it's the Rockies at number 30 right now. The easy choice for number 29 would be the White Sox. They barely beat out the Rockies. They're tied for the worst record in Major League Baseball for a good reason, and they absolutely got obliterated by the Phillies and then the Twins. And then the Twins again with a series with the Rays in between the Twins twice. We talked about how the Twins were hot, but they did play the White Sox a lot recently. That being said, the White Sox did win 5 out of their last 10, showing that there is a possibility that they could be moving forward. And they did beat the Rays 2 out of 3 games. The Rays are not having the best year ever, but they're still the Rays. And the two other games they did win, though, were against the Cardinals. And as we know, the Cardinals are struggling a bit this season. That being said, White Sox, number 29, they've got the worst run differential in Major League Baseball. If I would have ranked the White Sox at the bottom, if the Rockies had not slid so far so quick. Next for me, it's definitely got to be the Marlins for multiple reasons. They obviously have a terrible record. At the time of this recording, they're 10-27, right? They have a negative 71 run differential. They've lost 6 out of their last 10. But not to mention that, they just traded their best player. So they're only going to get worse, right? And so it's only a matter of time before they start trading off more pieces at the trade deadline. And if they're moving pieces this early, I mean, teams might be trying to take advantage of that. So I don't see the Marlins getting any better. If anything, I see them getting worse. They have no chance whatsoever to win the division. They have been absolutely terrible this year. They did sweep the Rockies recently, so that's good for them. You know, they won 7 of their 10 games against the number 30 team on our list. But again, that does not really help their ranking as far as strength of schedule goes. So Miami Marlins are the third worst team for me, and that one's a pretty easy choice. After that is where it starts getting a little more difficult in the rankings, because there's quite a few teams that you look at them and they have the same record, but they've played very different schedules, they have very different run differentials and things like that. Next on the list is the Angels. They've got a terrible run differential. They just lost Mike Trout, and they're 2-8 in their last 10 games. Next, we're going to go with the Houston Astros. They have potential to move up soon. They've got good talent on the roster. They won a game versus Seattle and 2-3 from the Guardians recently, but still tied for the fourth worst record and recently lost one of the arms in their rotation. I see them moving up soon, but that's where they're at right now. At number 25, we're going to go with the Cardinals. They have the fourth worst run differential in the National League and just lost 2 to the White Sox, you know, number 29 on the list. Then we're going to go with the Giants. They play in a tough division, or I would actually put them a bit lower, because they have the second worst run differential in the National League and are 3-7 in the last 10. I think on paper they're pretty good, but I expected a lot more out of the Giants so far this year with the signings they made in the offseason. They've dealt with some injuries. Blake Snell is already on the injury list and things like that, but I expected more from the Giants. Next, another surprising one is, to me at least, is number 23 at the Blue Jays. They got the third worst run differential in the American League. They're last place in the division, and they're 3-7 in the last 10, so they're headed in the wrong direction. Next, we're going to go with the Athletics, number 22. They're third in their division, but the two other teams in their division have already been named on this list. They actually have a worse run differential than the Astros. You know, I've been talking about run differential a lot. With 1/5 through the season or whatever, I don't put too much weight in that, but if we're making a power rankings of, you know, setting some parameters, I feel like run differential is kind of important. Next, at number 21, we're going to go with the Nationals. They are third in the National League East, which is pretty surprising and fun, honestly, but honestly, they've been worse than their record shows. At the time of this recording, they have a 500 record, but they are 4-8 against winning teams. So they've had a pretty easy schedule. Next, I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Rays. They also have a 4-8 record against winning teams and the fourth worst run differential in the American League. They've been hot lately, so I think they might be one that you can look to move up the list. They also have played a really, really tough schedule. The Pirates at number 19. They're tied with the Reds in their division, but they have a much worse run differential, and they're 9-10 against winning teams. The Reds, just to me, at number 18, edged out the Pirates. This was probably the hardest placement so far to look at when I'm looking, okay, who do I pick between this team and that team? The Pirates and the Reds are really close to me right now. I just think on paper, the Reds are a bit better. And it's hard because you have the run differentials and the recent last 10 games, but the Reds and the Pirates were really, really difficult, but I'm going to put the Reds at number 18. Number 17 is the Diamondbacks, and you might be scratching your head because they have, you know, a worse record than some of the other teams that have already been listed, right? But they have been much better than their record implies, their expected win-loss win-loss expectancy or expected win-loss record actually has them a game over 500. They also have had a harder schedule than 17 other teams. So look for them to move up. I'm not going to say that they're the favorites to go back to the World Series or anything like that, but I do think that they've been a bit unlucky, and we should see, and I just think that they should be ranked higher than some other teams that have better records. Next, at number 16, we're going to go with the Tigers. I would have ranked them a bit higher earlier in the season, but they've, at the time of this recording, are on a 4-game losing streak, and that drops into 16. I think they have the talent to move up the list, but I wouldn't be shocked if they stay right where they're at, but I also wouldn't be shocked if they move into just barely into the top 15 teams in the league, honestly, with the talent that they have. All right, now we're halfway through the list, which is going by really quickly. It's been a lot of fun, put a lot of research into this, but with that being said, let's take a little bit of a break and then we'll come right back. Next, I'm going to go with the New York Mets. On paper, they just barely have a positive run differential. It makes sense to place them right in the middle of the pack. Looking at the roster that they have, guys like Pete Alonso are going to have to step it up if the Mets are going to start winning. Pete's having a really tough year, which is interesting because he's in a contract year, so typically players do really well in those years, but Pete Alonso's having a hard time. But I think a lot of that has to do with I'm going to put on my tinfoil hat again. I do think the balls have been messed with. Offense is down this year. Last year, there was only 10 teams that averaged less than 4 runs per game. This year, there's 20 teams that averaged less than 4 runs per game. So the offense is down this year, and we've seen with the Braves, and it looks like Pete Alonso, that guys that rely on power are having difficulty hitting it over the fence. But anyways, let's move on. Number 14, I'm going to go with the Cubs. The Cubs have had the second easiest schedule in Major League Baseball, yet only have a run differential of 15, and they're 4-6 in their last 10, and they're 9-10 versus winning teams. The way I say that negatively is because I wanted to point out why they're low on the list. Okay, I think that they're on paper a good team. And I do think that the potential is there to be higher. This is where they're at right now because I just expected, the way that they started off earlier in the year, I figured they'd be on a bit of a better pace than they are right now. But, I mean, they're still a relatively good team. They're in the top 15 in the power rankings. So, hey, you know, and Cody Bellinger just came back. The Cubs could go on a heater here soon. Next, right above the Cubs, I have the Brewers. Same division. Much of the same story as the Cubs. They've had a really easy schedule. Their run differential is a positive 20, but I figured it would be higher with the schedule that they've played. They have a 10-11 record versus winning teams, so they have a losing record against them. And they're also on a 3-game losing streak. So the Cubs and the Brewers are kind of headed in the wrong direction, but they're both in a good position to make the playoffs. They both have good teams on paper, so it'll be fun to see. Next, I'm going to go with the Royals, the Kansas City Royals. They probably are the most surprising team for me this year. They have a really, really good positive 45 run differential, and the strength of schedule is right in the middle of the pack. So it's not like they've gotten lucky with a really easy schedule to get that plus 45 run differential. You know, the strength of schedule, I'll say it over and over again, is extremely important, especially in baseball, because you have a really long season, and the schedules are very, very different than the odds of you got two teams playing similar schedules is very, very difficult, and the strength of schedule definitely matters. As far as, we talked about how this list is arbitrary, but it also, it it matters in a sense of likelihood of being as good as you think they are or being worse than you think they are when it comes to the playoffs. Next, I'm going to go with the Twins that just edging out the Royals. And this one's interesting because they don't have like an insanely good record right now, but they are one of the hottest teams in Major League Baseball easily. They've won 11 out of 12 games at the time of this recording, and they could be primed to move down the list because they've been really hot in a sense that there's no way they're going to stay this hot, but winning 11 out of 12 is really impressive. They've moved up really quickly, but they have had the relatively easy schedule, but that's okay. 11 out of 12 is really, really good regardless of what teams you have played. Number 10, I'm going to put the Red Sox, which at the beginning of the year I would have never guessed that they'd be this high any time in the season. They have the fourth best run differential in the American League, but have been bad against winning teams. They're 7-13. But based on their placement in their division and their run differential, I'm going to have to put them at 10. The Padres, they're playing 500 ball, but I'm going to put them at 9. They have a strong roster on paper. They just picked up the closest thing we have to Tony Gwynn in today's game, which is really interesting, in Arise. They also have a winning record against winning teams. So although they're 500, they have a 500 record, their run differential shows they should be better. They just picked up a really good hitter, and they have a winning record against winning teams, and to me, that matters. That shows that they can win games in the future, regardless of who they're playing. Number 8, I'm going to go with the Rangers. Earlier on in the season, they looked like they were headed in the wrong direction and were going to struggle this year, and we're going to have that World Series hangover, but it looks like they're getting over that hangover. They've got the third best record against winning teams this season at 13-9. They're on a 3-game winning streak, and they're 7-3 in their last 10 games. They also, we know, are already a really good team on paper based on their performance last year, and they don't even have Jacob DeGrom back fully. So they look for them to continue to be successful. Number 7, I have the Guardians, which also was a surprise to me. I thought this division was going to be much weaker than it appears to be. Although we're early in the season, still, it's still the American League Central has been a really fun and surprising division this year. Right now, I have the Guardians at number 7. They're 12-7 against winning teams. They're on a 3-game winning streak. They got a 44-run differential. But they seem to be a legitimate team, and we saw them play against the Braves. They're a good team. I actually had them higher in my power rankings last week. So I actually had them in the top 5. So they're a good team. Next, number 6, I'm going to go with the Seattle Mariners. They had the best rotation in Major League Baseball so far. Their bullpen is also really solid, too. No team has given up fewer runs than the Mariners this year. Since April 14th, their rotation has a 1.76 ERA. For reference, the Braves are 8th in Major League Baseball since that time with a 3.07 ERA. And the Mariners' ERA is like about half that. They've been absolutely dominant on the pitching side of the ball. Now, their offense hasn't been the best, but when you have a rotation like that, you're always going to compete, as long as they stay healthy. Next, I'm going to have our beloved Atlanta Braves at number 5. Early on in the season, I had them ranked first and second. This is the first time I'm dropping them down to 5. They've been struggling. There's no doubt about it. They have played really good teams. And in fact, over their last three series, they've played 3 teams in our top 7. So as of late, they've played a really tough schedule. So that makes sense that they've been struggling. They've also you know, played, their offense has been down, but they also just played against the best rotation in Major League Baseball, a team that has given up the fewest runs of any team in Major League Baseball and the Mariners. So there's reasons why they have struggled a bit lately. But, alas, they are down to fifth now because they have been playing poorly. They have had the 11th toughest schedule in Major League Baseball so far, but they do have a 34-run differential even after playing that tough stretch. They have the 8th best rotation in ERA, 6th best bullpen ERA, and 8th best offense in runs created plus. We would have expected higher. I would have at least. They've been struggling, but they're a very well-rounded team in the sense that their bullpen, rotation, and offense are all top 8 or better in Major League Baseball. Not many other teams can say that. And so the Braves, to me, are still in the top 5. They're sitting right there. They just won a game against Boston. They could be on their way back up, especially as they start playing the easier part of their schedule. Next, the Phillies finally have the Phillies ahead of the Braves. The Phillies have been on one heck of a heater. In fact, I don't think there's been a team that's been hotter than the Phillies, unless you could argue the Twins. But there have been no teams in Major League Baseball hotter than the Phillies or the Twins. The Phillies have now gone on and passed the Braves in National League East rankings. They've been 9-1 in their last 10 games and have dominated all month long. Only reason they are not ranked higher is they've played the easiest schedule in Major League Baseball. That is a good sign for Braves fans or Mets fans. The Phillies have been, you cannot take away how well they've been playing. They've been playing out of their minds. But the one glass half full for anyone that's a fan of a team that hopes to surpass the Phillies have played the easiest schedule so far, so you can expect their schedule to be a lot harder for them as the season goes on, if that's any saving grace. But the Phillies, gotta hand it to them, they are playing some really good baseball. The Yankees are number 3, and honestly, they've been darn good, but have had the 5th easiest schedule. Other than that, they're 10-6 versus winning teams, and have a very good 42-run differential, and are on a 3-game winning streak. The Yankees went from really, you know, very disappointing last year, and somehow, even with Aaron Judge struggling this year, have been one of the, arguably a top 3 team in Major League Baseball. Really, honestly, the reason they're not ranked higher is there's no justification that I could come up with to put them higher than the next 2 teams on the list. As much as Yankees fans would hope, the top 2 teams have just been so dominant. So for the final 2 spots, other than, honestly, the Pirates and the Reds, these 2 were the hardest to pick between. But I'm going to go with, and I try, you know, on this podcast the best I can to leave bias out of it, to be as straight and to the point and using the statistics and numbers as much as I can, trying to take as much bias out of it as possible, which is why you saw the Braves out of 5. I wasn't mad at the Braves and rank them really low, like 15th, and I wasn't delusional and rank them in the top 2 because they haven't been playing like a top 2 team for the past half month or so. Right? So, either way, I have the Dodgers at number 2. Like I said, it's really tough between them and the number 1 team. They're 12-8 against winning teams, and they have the best run differential in Major League Baseball. And they just got Walker Buehler back. So, things are looking good for the Dodgers. They have had a relatively easy schedule. They do play in a relatively easy division, but they have been dominant. There's no doubt in my mind. Now, I do think the Braves and other teams like the Yankees and Phillies, they have a chance to surpass the Dodgers at some point. It's definitely possible. But as of right now, you got to give credit where credit's due. And right now, the Dodgers are number 2 on my list. Number 1, the Orioles. They get the slight edge over the Dodgers, and this is the reason why. They've played a very similar strength of schedule as the Dodgers, but I would place one placement higher. So the Dodgers had the sixth easiest schedule. The Orioles had the fifth easiest. But the Orioles have been dominant against winning teams. They had the best record against winning teams in Major League Baseball. By winning teams, I mean teams with a record that's better than 500. They have a 14-5 record. So not only are they just dominating bad teams, they're dominating good teams too. The Orioles are dominating every single team they play. They also have the best run differential in the American League. So the Orioles have just been dominant, you know. Of course, the Dodgers swept the Braves. So, you know, you could say that the Dodgers have been playing really good against good teams as well. That I'm not trying to say that the Dodgers haven't been, but there just hasn't been a team so far this year that has been as dominant as the Orioles. I feel like the Orioles could literally go up against any team and they would be the favorites to win the series. So the Orioles, to me, are number one. And there you have it. That's the first top 30, or I guess I should say 30, full 30 team power rankings from 30 to number one this year. This is actually the first time I've ever done power rankings on the podcast. So I hope you enjoyed it. Let me know if you liked it and let me know where I went wrong. You know, if you like it, let me know. And, you know, just tell me how awesome it is. And if you hate it, you can blame the producer of this podcast. How about that? Who's also me. Okay. With that, I'll see you guys next week. Thanks so much for listening. You can find the show anywhere you find your podcast. So please share with your friends. Get a 5-star rating on Apple. It really helps spread the show to people that might not know it exists. You can email the show at bravesdugout@gmail.com. You can find the show on Facebook. You can also find me on Twitter or X at bravesdugoutpod, or my personal Twitter at speoplesports. You'll see me tweet about baseball and Survivor as my two favorite things to tweet about. With that, as always, go Braves!